Tonight on Big Head Mode, we are talking about Just Cause 3. We're also going to be talking about a new segment that I am calling Franchise Fix It, where we try and take a franchise that maybe needs a little work and we fix it up. Joining me in the studio for tonight's show, Carlo Ritchie, Bardia McKinnon, guys. The franchise I've chosen is Assassin's Creed.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Topical.
For every year since 2003.
Yeah. Right.
Look, we've also got a lot of stuff to show and tell. Plus, I dare say, because Carlo's on, we'll talk either Gwent and or Star Wars Battlefront.
God,
that's all coming up on Big Head Mode. That's right, you're on Big Head Mode. I'm your host,
really?
Ben O'Brien. This is 2RRR's one and only gaming show. Bardia, Carlo, thanks for coming here, guys.
It's a bloody pleasure.
I know you had a million other things to do. Bardia, you had that high-stakes poker tournament you were in later on.
That's right, I'm $2 million in the hole.
And Carlo, you're...
I was working on 2RRR's other video game radio show.
Wait, sorry, what? Is that the one that's exclusively Gwent?
Yeah. The Gwent Hours.
It's a
two-hour Saturday afternoon show.
Couldn't recommend it less.
No, people at home.
I play Gwent on air.
He doesn't speak. He just
no. It's just the sound of just like slight card flipping.
Yep. You can. There's also an online live tweet. You can see what cards are being played.
Yeah.
So you really need to listen to and read both,
or be here. Mm.
Yeah.
Really,
it's or be one of the four people in the building.
Yeah.
It's real exclusive.
Each week I get in a new guest, generally very high profile. This week we've got the creator of the Fallout series.
Mm.
Have you really?
Yeah, so
what's their name, Carl?
Her name is McKay.
Yes, McCain.
She has done it again, though.
She has.
The
show is wildly unsuccessful.
Yeah, but it's going to be a really good show. I'll remember her name before tomorrow, and it'll be great.
I tell you what, speaking of McCain, I feel like if Fallout really happened, McCain's fish fingers would definitely be something that you just find in the wasteland.
Just sitting there, what do they have now? Cram.
Yeah, cram. Get some cram in you.
Yeah.
I was trying to think the other day, like, what
get some cram in you.
I didn't name it. But you know, like, all those brands, like, what is it?
Daddy-O.
What's the mac and cheese? Blam and something?
Blam and Co.
Blamco mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to think what... I mean,
pork
mind you...
beans?
Pork and
beans. Yeah.
Great. Some great brands.
I would not eat a can of food that's 120 years old and irradiated.
If you're in a nuclear fallout, you might consider it.
Probably spoiled
for
choice.
Like, people are growing corn in this world.
But they're ghouls and we hate them.
But they're growing corn in irradiated soil. Like, it would still be...
Yeah, it's 120 years after it. Isn't, like, Fallout...
Nah.
Like, 60... They're growing food in Fukushima.
But isn't there still, like...
I wouldn't eat it.
I mean, sorry.
I'd probably eat canned Spam before I eat Fukushima corn.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right, buddy. You would.
I wonder how long it takes to get out of soil. We should get Dr. Carl to answer.
DC. Oh. Okay. Damn it.
I feel like, I mean, for people who don't know, we did have Dr. Carl on...
DK.
On a bonus stage to ask sort of science questions from... video games, and I feel like you could just ask him endless questions just from Fallout.
Certainly.
I mean, there's a lot of questions. I want to know how long a skeleton lasts exposed on the soil, on the surface of the earth.
Just
a skeleton.
Well, because game designers have been using that for ambient storytelling for decades.
Yeah. How long does a skeleton stay out there for 120 years?
What is your okay? Here's a weird question, but I reckon when you think about it,
oh, we've been on a very
it'll yield some fruit, right?
Okay, all right.
What is the coolest?
Backstreet.
I was going to say coolest skeleton you found in a video game.
Because
when you think about it, they show up. Skeletons are always used to tell like the story of someone who's died a long time ago.
Mm-mm.
In like Skyrim games.
Oh yeah, it'd be Manny Delgado from Grim Fandango.
Terrible, terrible.
Yes.
I would say it is the Skeleton King in Majora's Mask.
Right. Best skeleton. He's pretty good,
I guess.
All right.
But Manny.
I was going to say, I really like the skeleton in Destiny when you go down to on Venus, when you go down to the archive in the lobby to that like big science.
Oh yeah, the couple.
There's the two skeletons just hugging.
Yeah, that is good.
That's upsetting.
That was great.
That's upsetting as all hell.
It's upsetting, but like for a game that didn't really have story, it's like, where's that story? You know?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I probably am. Ambient storytelling, that's a good one. We should do a whole future show on that.
Last of Us did a great ambient storytelling segment.
But we'll do the show, like, we'll do it for a show that we'll release in 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. No, what we'll do is we'll record the show and then, like, and then damage the audio quality so it's barely understandable and then hide it somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, but we break it into multiple different parts and just scatter it around the world.
Like the Dragon Balls.
Like Horcruxes.
And then once you've gathered them all together, you're just woefully disappointed.
You're like, oh, yeah, that's a mildly interesting conversation they have.
Oh, okay. Man, humans of the past kind of sucked.
Ah, so it turns out that these aliens on New Mombasa, I can't remember that.
No, it's all right. You tried.
It is like the Trials Evolution Easter egg thing that they hid in their game. You know how they had that huge challenge that ended up the thing that's buried under the Eiffel Tower that... Like that whole thing that we're not going to see in our lifetime.
Oh, yeah. The catacombs.
I'm going to see it.
I went there.
I'm going to live forever.
No, I'm just going to dig it up early.
What? Just dig it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I wonder if the...
Anyway, look.
Sorry, what are we talking?
I mean, let's talk games, guys. the stuff we haven't been talking.
Fine. Chat through.
Kyle, I know you haven't been playing much of this week, but you you've been playing Battlefront, right?
Yeah, I've been playing a little bit of Battlefront, a little bit of Fallout, lot of Neptune's Pride. I just haven't had very much gaming time in the last week.
I feel that.
That's what the holidays are for, buddy.
But man, Neptune's Pride, holy smokes.
And this is a game where we were actively trying to encourage our listeners to discover your faction and somehow thwart this peace that you've broken between different online
I think
groups.
I may have got to the point in the game where all of the remaining players, I'm brokering a peace accord with all of them so we won't have any more war.
What's your faction?
People like
name?
You don't win wars. I'm just saying.
What's my.
Your faction?
I can't
name?
Say it on air.
Oh, Bardia. Come on, mate. That's not sharing.
I'm Bardia. That's
Sorry,
Carlo.
Bardia. Encourage Carlo to share.
Share.
No, I can't say it.
I tried.
All right. And you're orange or whatever. We looked on the map. Your color's orange.
No one at home cares about this.
I'm trying to.
He's orange. Take notes.
I'm trying to get information out so that we can. I don't. There can't be lasting peace in the galaxy, Bardia, all right? I need to prove to Carlo that humanity at its core is rotten and he'll be betrayed.
We were talking about it before and Carlo said, look guys, I think what's going to end up happening is it's going to be a 5-way draw. I'm like, that's the most disappointing ending to a game
but
ever.
That's why I think before the final hour you're going to get, like, someone's going to be like, well, the game hasn't changed for the last month because it's been in this truce.
He's the only one left playing. No one else is just...
Everyone is planning...
The game's great, you guys. I love it.
Everyone else is planning their moment to strike and Carlo's like, guys, this could be it. We don't have to attack each other.
I hope they don't.
We did that playing, Division. He's like, guys, we played the Division, a demo of it on the show floor at PAX or something, and we were playing, and Carlo the whole time was like, guys, we don't have to fight each other. Let's help each other. Let's get to the objective.
Yeah. What happens, Carlo, in your experience with video games, board games, like Game of Thrones, anytime you've said, hey, look, we don't have to attack each other, what happens next?
It shocks me that this is where we've come to.
We're concerned for you. We're trying to prepare you. Like, this is going to happen. I want you to be ready for it.
It's not going to happen, guys. These guys and I have been allied since the beginning of the game. It's
that
a three-way.
Doesn't mean anything. They're planning their next move as we speak.
No.
You're going to lose, Carlo.
It's not possible.
Also,
there we go. We've broken Carlo.
Blue is your father.
What?
What?
No. That's impossible.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks for doing that. I appreciate it.
That was good. That was good.
Broke this pen.
Good job,
there's
buddy.
There's a pen in the studio.
Sorry, yeah, sorry, anyone?
And the other game, Fallout. So, I mean, without spoiling any story stuff, how far are you?
I'm at the end where the main character...
I'm at the end when all the fathers come out and say, hey, we're all your fathers.
No!
And then...
I'm pretty sure I'm also at the end, like right near the end.
I'm not even close to the end.
So I'm not sure. But I'm helping a faction.
Good.
And that faction and I are having a lot of good times together.
Right.
A lot of great times on that choo-choo train and
okay,
express.
And you've just given it away. You've just given who the faction is.
Well, look, I mean, there's only like a number of factions, so there's already a 25% chance we know who he is.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good faction. It's a real good faction.
I finished the main storyline, right?
Oh, look.
Brag about it. This guy. Oh, I'm
brag
over storylines. Oh.
It is... you really have to, like, make some moral choices in that game.
Oh, really?
You really do.
Not me.
It's
I came across a really bad quest where the moral choices were so black and white, I didn't want to I was a bit disappointed by it. That's my story, and that's all I have.
I've gone off Fallout a tiny bit. Not that it's not a fun game, but just... I mean, there was a really good article that we read, Carlo, on Kotaku, about how it's...
Kotak.
It's not... You know, it's a good game, but it's not really a traditional Fallout game. And just how the way the game is designed, there's a really limiting options in terms of role-playing.
That's a pretty good article.
And how it kind of forces combat as your gameplay in almost every scenario.
That article actually gave a really good example. It mentioned a robot dog racing ring.
Okay, that was a thing. Like, when I read that article, I'd done that exact thing the day before. That exact scenario. You discover it, and it's this amazing...
thing that's happening.
You hear the announcer, and you're like, what is this? There's some event happening, and you see people running around a race course, and you go there, and everyone just starts killing you.
Yeah.
And, like, almost everyone that you have to kill is a named character, and every time I pull the trigger, I'm like, I want to know the story!
No, but there must be a...
Who are you,
Bang? There must be a story that you just didn't get the quest for.
Yeah,
that
the story,
changed,
the story that is that you have to kill them and then find out what it was afterwards, like, after the fact.
Yeah, it's I'm not crazy about that. I don't like that.
Yeah, it really forces the way you have to interact with it.
Hmm.
Yeah, like, I was really hoping that I could just be, like, a really charismatic, talk-my-way-out-of-all-kind-of-trouble rogue-type character. And I constantly go into rooms, and I can make every single person put their hands
up. I love that you do that.
But then you can't... If it's a mission where you have to wipe out something or clear an area, it's not clear. I really thought it would have been cool if you'd added an extra tier, like if you maxed out intimidation, you could then make them go to your settlements. So your settlements would suddenly be all these people
that
you've pacified. You're like, just you guys are on the wrong side of this. Come and join me.
That'd be great. You could play it like you're a religious figure. You're just converting everyone and starting your own cult.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the only disappointing for me at this stage.
I reckon it would be great if you could build your own. So there's the four big factions. It'd be great if you could build a fifth faction that was just your faction. So you can join all the factions, but then, like, rival them all with your own faction. That's like, we're pro ghouls, but
that sounds really
anti-robots,
cool. Yeah,
and don't like bandits.
Yeah, look, I mean, this
gingers, get out. No gingers,
Ben.
Yeah, that would be the great twist, wouldn't it? That the leader himself was a ginger.
A ginger.
See, I think it's a problem that a lot of these games, like Skyrim, have had. The problem that Skyrim had is it wasn't a living world. It was just a lot of quest hubs.
Fallout 4 feels a bit like that as well, though.
Fallout 4 has slightly more of stuff, like slightly more stuff going on. Yeah. Like, but it's still the same problem. You feel like
when you're not there, they're not doing anything. Whereas you want to be in a world where when you're not doing stuff over there, they're still going about their business. That's what you want.
One of the big disappointments I think for that was when you first entered Diamond City, the public occurrences newspaper stand. I thought, you know what, this is a great way to keep the world rolling. Like, every time you show up, they've got a new issue. But then, like, they just don't.
Yeah.
It's the same, it's the same one. That city's really small as well.
Like, for a main hub city that, well, it's regarded as being, what, the greatest city.
All I'm going to say is, keep playing. Wink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it is. But also that
there's
that
a game. There's a game changing.
Is when you first arrive in Diamond City, there's all this intrigue about maybe the mayor is involved in something and all this stuff, and that almost immediately gets dropped. You can't, you know, like, well, it has so far for me.
Ben's eyebrows are so raised.
All right, guys, let's go to some music, hey? A couple of the tracks, i.e. the first one and the last one, are from a little game I like to call Jet Set Radio Future.
Yes!
This is Fly Like a Butterfly. We'll be back after this. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. That was Jet Set Radio Future. You're in 2RRR 88.5 FM. Guys, time for a little bit of show and tell.
Okay. Sure.
I'm going to kick things off with something that just fell into my wonderful email account today. It's not that wonderful. There's a lot of junk in there. GTA Online keep just throwing out free updates. I mean, we're all GTA Online fans, and it's been a while since we played together.
Unfortunately.
And we haven't played since the last update came out, Lowriders, which added new cars.
And you can paint your cars up with cool custom crew painting.
Not just that, I'm pretty sure the big hot ticket item is you can add the suspension
bouncy cars. The hydraulics.
This one... Guys, this is a game changer for us. This is going to inform the way we play GTA, alright? I'll read out some of the things they're adding, okay? It's called the Executives and Other Criminals, another free update. It's including new customizable apartments, stilt houses in Vinewood, so you can finally buy those big Hollywood mansions.
Oh boy.
You can own the ultimate excess, an extravagant, fully staffed and upgradable super yacht.
It's can you drive it?
Yeah. It's from, you know, the mission in the story mode where you rescue the daughter from the... It's one of those giant yachts. Like the multi-level ones.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, with the hot tub in the back and everything.
That needs to be an escape vehicle.
It's going to be the most expensive thing in the game. Not only that, right? You can now form things called operations or organizations. So you actually form an organization, right? What that lets you do, you can now hire other players as bodyguards. They earn like a weekly, like a mechanic. They earn like a wage out of the bosses. Yeah. So I could hire you two as like a bodyguard, start an organization called Big Head Mode, and then we run our organization from a super yacht, and it unlocks new co-op jobs and missions and stuff just for organizations.
Wait, I guess organizations would then want like attack each other.
Yeah, then you go to head to head with other organizations.
Oh, dude, that's so great. Is it free?
It's a free download.
I love free.
What won't be free is when we probably spend real money to buy a super yacht.
You're damn straight.
But that's an investment I can get down for.
That sounds like
something that you could fly a seaplane out to.
Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, my God.
That's going to get me...
Like, this is like final stage in all of our heists.
Yeah, I know. This is...
a final step is it's question mark and then super yacht.
Yeah. Profit. This is going to get me back into it. That's so good.
Yeah. So that comes out. Let's see. Is there a date on that?
3 days ago.
Last year. What? No. Next week.
That's pretty much 3 days ago.
So Tuesday, midnight, generally, I guess, when Xbox Live and store comes out. I think it's Thursday for PlayStation. I don't know.
Cool.
All right. Sure. Jeez.
Ben, that is your real handle.
All right, bye. All right. What have you got to talk about? And I thought that was a pretty good one.
Yeah, that was a good show and tell. I liked it.
I liked it. Should I go next? Can we talk? All right, Carl, I'm just talking right now, so if you could just
come on, guys,
back
come on.
Up.
Be friendly.
I wanted to talk a little bit about a little game that you and I have been playing in brief, because I think we'll review it at some point in the future.
Probably next week, I imagine.
Next Wizzle. Wizzle is weak.
Thanks, bye.
That's right. Anyway, Rainbow Six Siege. A little game you and I have been playing. A little bit of
Rainbow Six Siege. Not Rainbow Six Each.
Rainbow Six Siege. I get that. That makes sense. Yeah, no, thanks
also,
for clearing that up.
Right off the bat, Rainbow Six. Rainbow Six, but you're in a squad of five. What's that about, Ubisoft?
Rainbow's back at home.
So I think what Kyle is trying to say is he has a drug addiction.
Okay, cool. The Rainbow Six.
You
take one of everything.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually.
The game itself, though.
So, it's like a... I mean, what? It's like a multiplayer-only, 5-on-5 PvP
It's basically like a SWAT simulator, right?
It's really similar to Counter-Strike in a lot of ways, I feel, in terms of... Like, the original 0.9 Counter-Strike, before Counter-Strike Go and stuff and Source.
Yeah, like but, sort of like one single life... realistic damage.
Yeah, and it's like there are two teams. One's a defending team who has to like barricade up an area. They might be protecting a hostage or a bomb or, you know, other such stuff. I think they're the only two we've discovered.
And then I think on the harder difficulty ones, there's multiple. Like you have multiple in the room.
Which is cool. And then the attacking team, trying to either take out all the other enemies or fulfilling the objective by disarming the bomb or rescuing the hostage. And man, it's just a lot of it's a blast. Like there are phases at the beginning of each round where the defending team can like set up defenses and barricades and all that kind of stuff to protect their area. Where the attacking team send in drones to scout it out, see where everything is, see where people are. You can like watch cameras and all that kind of stuff. It's great.
The biggest problem because you and I have been playing it in party chat with other people that we're not talking to.
And you need to talk. Yeah. You need to have a five-way communication.
Because there was a time last night when I just unlocked this character called IQ, and she has this wrist-mounted like electronic detector, so you can X-ray through walls and see if there's C4 or booby traps on the other side.
Yeah,
and it's a great way to just quickly like rappel to the top of a roof, wander around and just try and figure out what room they're holding up in, right?
Because if there are a bunch of traps, you would assume that that's where they're...
Totally. And so, like, you know, the first match with her, I tested it out, immediately found their room, and I was like, great, guys, look, they've got they've got booby traps on these outside windows. I'm going to put C4 on these two to try and blow up their bombs, and then I'll breach from the opposite side,
and
so
I
it's like
you.
A distraction. And you and I were planning, and then I hear this, you know, if he'd had Mike on, I can only imagine I would have heard, Leroy Jenkins! Because the guy pulls out a sledgehammer and just starts cracking a hole in front of me where
the C4 is,
just blows us both to hell.
And then, like...
it's like... I'm trying to think who that guy would be in a real world SWAT situation. It's like some guy's like, "Stack up, guys, I got this."
Wait,
no! Has Jenkins got a sledgehammer?
Like, Jenkins, no! And there's so many occasions, because we were the only ones that could talk to each other, or would only talking to each other, it would get to like everyone else would die because they were all communicating, and then it'd just be us left with five other people in the team, like Ben.
I mean, it's entirely our fault because you and I don't like talking to randos online.
And I don't think that's going to change. I'm not going to talk to randos. Screw that. Unless. We have five of our friends.
That's true. That's true.
Well, then it's not randos that you haven't actually made an
That's
unless
true.
Statement. There.
That's true. We haven't changed our ways at all.
Yeah, yeah. We've stayed fixed in your old ways.
We've changed everything around us to suit us.
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me like I made a mistake? I feel fine.
Never change, buddy. Never change.
Oh, shut you.
I do love games like that, though. Like Evolve, which we never played enough of.
I wish we did.
Those games that just put you in a role.
I'd maxed out my levels on the medic.
Guys, we should get cheap pre-owned copies and get back into that game.
I think I downloaded it.
Do you have it?
I think I've got it.
Damn. Let's do it. I mean, this is a conversation we can have off air.
Certainly.
But actually, this is a second show and tell thing I'm going to throw in very quickly. There was a big EB Games sale last week, and I got really excited for it because it was meant to be like 80% off stuff. I looked through it. There wasn't really anything I wanted, and I went, ugh. But then after the sale ended, I kind of, like, I started remembering games that I was like, oh, actually, I wonder how much this is now. Last week, I have bought, like, four separate purchases where I've just remembered a game, looked up to see if it's, and then found how cheap it is. Last night, I was this close to buying you both super cheap copies of Battlefield 4.
I should have got Destiny.
Maybe someone already has. Merry Christmas, Carlo.
Whoa!
but you can get Battlefield 4 with everything on it for like $18 with all of the DLC. And I was like, you know what? If that online community was still active, I would play the hell out of
people
it.
People still gave a crap.
Loaded the game up, totally still active. Oh, there were like 20 active servers, like games in the Australian servers.
Oh.
Not even North America. Yeah. So
I'd play that.
I'm planning this holiday to just do a massive like resurgence of all those great multiplayer games.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, mainly because the ones they had at the moment, apart from Battlefront, pretty lackluster.
I don't know, man. Like, Rainbow Six is a ball.
Rainbow Six is a blast
with that.
Halo 5,
game.
A bit air.
I haven't
put enough time into Black Ops 3, although I'm keen to try out some more Jeff Goldblum zombie action.
Oh, who isn't?
Who isn't? Now, Carlo, what about you? What's your show and tell for this?
Oh,
this
my show and tell is a bit of a change in pace. I want to talk a little bit about
love,
character, role playing characters in RPGs. Because one of the things that Fallout's got me really excited about is like the next Elder Scrolls game, which hasn't been announced, but I imagine
Elder
will
Scrolls
be announced
online,
next year.
Carlo.
No, never again.
It was pretty bad.
Which is $18 already as well, by the way. You could get it for $18 in that EB sale.
Or you could not get it and not miss a night of sleep.
But, you know, so I wanted to talk about, the mindset that I like to get into to building characters in RPG games. Just to see, you know, what other people do in terms of their character.
And you are notorious for your character building.
Yeah.
You really are. Yeah.
It's great.
What is something new? I mean, we've talked on the show in the past about... I mean, a favorite one, I think, was your Nord in Skyrim, who had to take her armor off to cross bodies of water.
Yeah, she
I loved... Me. When he told me that, I was like, yeah, of course, that's brilliant. Yeah.
What have you got recently? Tell us some of your recent characters in there.
So, my Fallout 4 character, for example, I was like, she's a... It was really cool. I decided that she was a lawyer, and then she was a lawyer in the game, so that
was
cool.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So, had a really high charisma... really high intelligence, a little bit of perception, and a little dash of luck, and then nothing else. Like, strength one, agility one, what's the other one? Endurance?
Endurance is great.
And perception.
Endurance is great.
So, you know, like, really low stats. And I always find it's fun to create a character who initially is disadvantaged in certain fields and has to go around around that in different ways. Fallout, of course, like the level up system does kind of immediately sort of neglect that.
Yeah.
But I'm making sure very, very fixedly to not change my stats.
Like the core stats yeah.
to any extreme. So that was the initial thing. I didn't want her to travel at night because her whole my whole ambition was like, my son has been taken. I'm going to do everything I can to ensure that I am alive when I'm alive and get to my son. So yeah. like I avoid hostility. Like if I see a group of enemies ahead, I'll just go around them.
You'll like sleep and eat when
needed. Sleep at night.
Would you ever fast travel?
I fast traveled a little bit,
yeah.
But yeah, mostly I just travel everywhere on foot.
Great.
I won't do any missions that involve killing somebody. If someone's like, you have to go and kill this person, I'm like, nah.
See, and that's crazy to me because it's like, on one hand, you are missing a large portion of the game by playing it like that, but on the other hand, you're creating your own experience out of it, and I think that's so cool.
It's like, I was listening, I think it was in a podcast I was listening to recently, they were saying there's someone online who did a entire playthrough in Sanctuary.
Oh, yeah, they spent 10 hours.
They didn't, yeah. They just arrived in Sanctuary the moment they left the vault and were like, well, I'm making my life here. So they didn't even get to the stage in the game where you actually unlock Sanctuary as a place you can customize. So he just spent this time like...
No, I think he did. I think he got to that point and then spent his time... Like, he spent 10 hours. He spent his entire playtime creating a world for himself and for his people. And, like, that's all he did.
I see. I thought it was even before he got to that stage. He didn't even venture out. He just literally just stayed there. Anyway, that's like... I love that. I love that someone just going, I don't need to know the rest of this world. I'm gonna stay safe. I'm going to scavenge.
I wish... That sounds awesome. Like, having that kind of fun that you can create yourself in a world that is... I just think that's so... cool, and it's just not something I ever do.
That's what made Skyrim fun for me when I made that character years ago, because it was just like, well, I'm only going to travel on the roads.
Yeah.
I'm never going to fast travel. I'm not going to cross rivers unless I absolutely have to. And if I do, I have to take my armor off.
You set rules for yourself that you particularly, I know, stay so like true to, and I really like. I think
this might be controversial, though. I think I preferred the Skyrim house building mechanic.
Oh, never.
The houses were like just. You just built the same house.
Very similar, but I liked the idea of having templates. Like, I find the freedom that comes with Fallout's building stuff just really stressful.
There's a lot going on.
I'd rather just kind of be able to autocomplete. Like, I'd rather go demolish that whole block, look at a few template block houses. Like, do I want a one story or two?
You want, like, SimCity.
Yeah, like a starting block that then I can customize and tweak.
Rather than
scrap by scrap. Like, every time I try to build an entire house... immediately, like, one wall is slightly too long, and I'm like, well, I've done something wrong here.
Yeah, also, the building in that game isn't perfect. Like, it's not really fleshed out like the way you wanted it to.
Chris Thompson, who does all of our cinematography for the sketches for Big Head Mode and Insert Coin, he builds these incredible settlements. He took me to show me two of his settlements yesterday, and he goes to he's built a bar in one of them, and he went and found a tuxedo and dressed the barman in a tuxedo, and he's dressed all of the people that he puts on defense in army fatigues and gives them really good weaponry.
He's been telling me he's getting really into it. Like,
he's so good.
And I love that. Like, that's what I'm always after. Immersive gaming like that. Rules that you can set for yourself. And you've actually turned me onto it. And I'm trying to find it more and more in games. I've gone back to think about games like Watch Dogs and stuff. And when I played that,
ooh, don't think about Watch Dogs.
No. Because the world itself. Stop pulling my head.
I didn't mean to.
The world itself is so nice looking and so. It feels... I really like the open world in Watch Dogs, that I feel like I can just walk... I'd play a whole playthrough where I would never drive anywhere. I would never run anywhere. I'd just casually walk to my next location, just stopping and doing stuff.
I think it was great. I loved it. I didn't play the game at all. We should all do that in GTA Online. We should all start a playthrough on that where we all have to abide the law and just as a social experiment, see how long we can just live in that world without any of us committing a crime. Like, the first one to commit a crime.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think actually...
That could be a really fun 48-hour video game challenge.
That could be the no crime
challenge. Oh, man, that's a really good... Would we talk to each other? Like, would we be in party chat? Or is
yeah,
that...
yeah, yeah, we will hang out together and we'll just, live in life.
What are you guys doing? De-weeding my garden. I guess. I don't know.
All right, let's go to a song and come back and fix ourselves some Assassin's Creed. This is the Black Flag theme from the Video Games Live soundtrack. We'll be back after this. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM.
True. You are.
Here we go.
Big Head Mode!
Now, at the top of the show, we were talking about Dr. Carl and his science questions answering gaming stuff. Carlo, you tweeted off a cheeky little tweet to Dr. Carl at the start of the show.
Yeah, I sent a tweet asking how long would soil remain irradiated after a nuclear blast. His answer doesn't, not too particularly helpful, but depends on surface or air blast, uranium, plutonium, or thermonuclear, extra additives, e.g. cobalt, etc.
So what we have to do is figure out what the extra additives were in Fallout.
Yeah, once we know the details of the blast...
I'm guessing...
It's got to be thermonuclear, right?
I mean, there's a lot of blast material, nuclear blast materials.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to... where they dropped that bomb, to quote the song, crawl out through the fallout. There's a lot of nuclear material there. So, I don't know. I think thermonuclear blast.
Yeah, there we go. We'll keep you updated on Dr. Carl's Dr. Carl's inputs. But for now,
DK,
we got to fix something that I think needs a little bit of fixing, all right? This regular, what is going to be a regular segment, franchise fix-up. We take a franchise, we say what doesn't work, and we talk about how we would fix it.
Can I write a theme song for it?
Yeah, buddy, go with the theme song.
No, I'm going to write it.
No, do it now. Go with the theme.
Franchise fixer, it's going to be good. I'm going to fix those franchises now.
All right, here we are. Yeah, franchise fix up. Assassin's Creed is on the table. The guts are laid bare. We are examining
it. Oh, God, it's
first
disgusting.
Things first, all right? Here's what I'm going to suggest. We need a new modern day. They need to fix modern day stuff.
Oh, they have needed to do that.
Yeah,
give us a sweet character that actually does stuff in modern day,
and make it a through line.
Yeah. Commit to it. Commit to something.
Commit to an interesting narrative
because it is
overarching everything.
Because it was cool in the first two.
Yeah,
and a bit. It was cool. Like, it was like, oh, I wonder where they're going to go with this. This is going to be great. And then they really just lost the plot. And the
Think about it. In the way that Eternal Darkness on the GameCube did this process. You have a single protagonist, a present-day protagonist, who is learning about her ancestors and different points, which is all coming up with a sort of... It's all building to the same narrative conclusion, which you have to resolve eventually as that character. And so you're moving around a house, connecting to different ancestors, and you start off... way back in like way back in Roman times, you go through a Mayan temple.
Yeah.
You build all the way up through to like the First World War, and you keep building through until modern day. That's what you should be doing. Like, you don't need to. We're an institute that investigates dreams, and then sometimes we're like, the dreams are important, but then other times like, no, they're just part of like fun for people to watch.
But even more recently, there's not even that. It's like you're the character. And you're like a video game tester.
Yeah,
and they're trying to be meta and self-referential, but you're not invested at all.
No, not at all. And they try to weave in characters from the previous games in the modern series, and you just don't care. But I remember there was a moment in, I think, the third one, where Desmond, the character who's going through all the dreaming, finds that he's like it's bleeding through. He becomes an assassin, and you start like fighting in modern day. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. It's going to be like this weird split, like 60-40 split of maybe we'll be playing Desmond in a living, breathing city doing assassin-y stuff. And I was like, this is going to be great.
You know what? And you know what that game should be? Like,
Watch Dogs.
No, this is what that game should have been, right? And it's kind of what Carla was saying. It should have been halfway split between a modern open world city and a past city, but the same place.
Totally. I think it would have been good.
And then it's like, you go back in the memories, you have to solve clues to find where the next thing is, and then you go back to the modern day and you see a completely different version.
Yeah.
It would have been awesome.
Because they kind of did that in 2, I think it was, when you go into the Colosseum.
Very, very loosely. And it wasn't open world, it was like a very...
It was just that area. But
it was great,
but it was cool. And then you go back to Montregione, is that what it was called?
Montregione.
You go there and it's like, oh, this is what it looks like now. And I thought they were going to... build on that. So it was cool partially, and then they just they sort of gave up on it and made it real weird.
Just
and then
bring back a single a modern day protagonist, probably Emily Roivas, probably voiced by Jennifer Hale.
But you know what? That's...
And remake Eternal Darkness
or Danny Wallace as.
That's the other thing though. Like, I mean, all that brouhaha about not having a female protagonist in the in the co-op of Assassin's Creed Unity. If you bring back modern. I mean, there's no reason you couldn't have a female, modern-day protagonist.
With
male they want to come up with whatever excuse that's, you know... I'm just saying, like, if you do that, you're lending yourself to having multiple protagonists, so you don't have any restrictions in terms of who is the one assassin we have. You can have a really diverse, interesting roster of characters.
Yeah. That's probably the biggest thing I would say they need to fix.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that, I mean, we make jokes all the time about how many of these goddamn games there are, right? There's
23? 24, 23. God, it's not that bad. Like 18, 19.
But it's like, my point is like, they're also all the same game. Like, there's no variation in, there's very slight variation in the gameplay. They just need to re-energize it. And every time a new one comes out, they make it sound like that's what they're doing. It's like the whole new experience. It's not. It's just
take a look.
We played the game before.
Let's talk
28 times.
So our first idea of fixing it was a pretty like sort of, not niche, but like, you know, you got to be focused on, you know what the game's like and how you would change it. That's a fan perspective.
Sure.
What about, like, let's go really creative. What would you change to fix from just a gameplay perspective? What's a big change you think you'd like to see?
I would make climbing actually difficult.
Yeah.
Like, every building would have a whole new mapping of, like, even if it was a quick time event or something like that, so that, like, climbing up a building was sort of like, not just holding a trigger or holding a button and jumping.
Did you ever play Shadow
of
the Colossus?
No.
The climbing in that was like you had to grab on with a button and then like move and then grab on with the other one and then hold down the thing to. You had like a grip meter. It was like it was a challenge to climb up these huge scaling things. That would be really cool. Mm. I think that's really good.
In Tomb Raider, you had three buttons mapped, two buttons mapped to climbing. You know, like if you were climbing a rock, you hit it with a thing. Then you have to press X if it's like loose, and then you grab onto the ledge with X, and then you move around. And you have to jump aside and then press Y.
Yeah.
Even just adding that slight challenge, there's the chance that you will fall. Whereas in Assassin's Creed, you really have to struggle to fall.
I reckon a great way to do that would be because if you remember the first one, Buds, one of the biggest thrills in that game was actually running away and escaping from enemies.
Yeah.
Because that was the newest thing, that really cool idea of you get busted, you can't fight like more than five enemies, and you have to find an escape route. And it was like mapping your own free-running escape route, finding the white sheets to represent a place you could run up, finding somewhere to hide. And I feel like they never really took that idea and, you know, they added different kinds of hiding places. Mm. But they didn't really embellish that feeling. Like, that's the feeling that you want. You want to feel like, you know, you build up your skill at escaping rather than just being able to easily fight, like, 60 dudes.
I wouldn't mind if they changed up. Like, I mean, the whole game, especially now, given that it's been out, a franchise that's been running for a lot of years, it feels very rigid. The combat, the running, I mean, all these things we're talking about feels very rigid and, like, the way it did 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I would love an Assassin's Creed game to be about an assassin that is so vulnerable and just sticks to the shadows and is like an assassin rather than this like powerhouse.
Higher stakes.
I want to work out how to drop into a building, kill a dude, and then be out of there without anyone noticing. And they tried to bring stealth into the last couple of series, most notably Syndicate, but it still feels like an Assassin's Creed game trying to do stealth rather than a stealth, like, I feel like they should focus. I think that'd be really cool, and then they could bring in the realistic climbing and the more realistic.
Yeah,
you know, let's bring a sense of realism into.
I think a good way of looking at it is Far Cry games, Far Cry 3. Hmm. You know, what I love about Ubisoft games is they do make you feel powerful, but I like it when that feeling of empowerment is earned. Hmm. Like, it comes through having a complex control system that you have to perfect. You know, once you've perfected it, you know, maybe you can escape enemies like a total badass. But it comes with, you know, a climbing system you've had to master. You've had to time all your button presses for every single ledge grab or, like, complicated, you know, little somersaults and that sort of... Like a fighting game, really. Like, approach to, like... So that, you know, so that when you pull it off, you feel, like, totally badass.
And when you do get to combat, it's like, oh, shit. Like, this is a big... I'm screwed.
Combat's a difficult one, too. Like, because they made it harder and more challenging in Unity, and I just found it was really boring.
They didn't make it harder. They just made you. They gave you less health and just made them stronger. They didn't change any of the mechanics.
I like the approaches I was like in those kind of games is like easy to pick up, but like difficult to master. Mm. So like, it'd be good if like you could more or less fight off five enemies and kill them, but it looks sloppy and you feel rubbish.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that you feel like you failed unless you've done it in like an expert way, like without getting hit, or without.
And like as you're
if they had some sort of trade off,
and it's almost like as you're fighting, you're thinking like, okay, I need to wait for an opportunity because I can't kill these guys. What if I need to wait for an opportunity to run?
What if every time you got hit by an enemy, you got a permanent scar on your character? And so
I think it's in real life. I was like,
your motivation in the game is to not get scarred.
What about an Assassin's Creed game that has nothing to do with the past? What about an entire
the future?
Well, an Assassin's Creed game about a modern day assassin in a world like, let's say, Watch Dogs. That plays a lot like Watch Dogs.
Let's just let them fix Watch Dogs.
Yeah, okay.
No, hear me.
All right, look. We're running over. This is Agency Heist.
You don't know.
From GTA 5. We're going to come back after this and review Just Cause 3.
What's the point?
Well, time for a Just Cause 3 review.
Let's do it.
Buddy, you and I have been grappling and shooting and gliding our way through this game.
Swinging.
Well, there is
There's no swinging.
That's a lie.
It's a lie.
A lot of good times.
Really?
Well, swinging in that regard.
Okay, times.
I mean, Rico's a bit of a ladies' man.
He is a ladies' man.
So let's reel him off, okay? Basically, if you haven't heard of it, it just is you're a super agent.
Yep.
From an unknown agency called The Agency.
Yep. Creative.
And your whole job is basically you bust despots and
you're known as
dictator regimes,
a dictator removal specialist,
pretty much. Yeah,
that's what he's called. That's
so you're in this country called Medici, which is clearly like it's meant to be like
Italia,
and
his hometown.
It's Rico's hometown, and so that's probably the most story sort of investment there's been in any of the games so far.
Oh boy.
That's about as much as that's as far as it goes, really.
Tell you what, the story in this game is not good.
It isn't good, nor is the way it's told.
That's not the point, though, is it, Ben?
I mean, look, let's really quickly, because we don't have much time, but let's reel off the pros and cons, right? Pros? So
real is a pun. I feel like every time you say it, it's a pun, but let's do it.
I suppose real, EEL, because you do reel in your grapple hook, but that would be a stretch, Barty, and I don't know why you brought it up.
What I was going for.
Gameplay. At its core, this game is about explosives, and then strapping those explosives to lots of things, and then blowing those things up.
Yep.
And then flying away going, cheers.
I've never said that.
Okay, have you done one thing I love? I mean, Rico's personality when he is blowing stuff up is great.
Oh, he's.
Have you ever done that thing where you strap C4 to something? If you don't have a wanted level, right?
Yeah.
So no one knows. If you strap C4 to something when you're undetective, Rico goes. Sneaky laugh. Like, I was just like, I found this amazing looking bridge, and I was like, I mean, this is really important to the villagers, to the locals' ability to get to and from places, but I'm blowing that up
because that looks
bloody beautiful.
There was
I lined it up, I perfectly planted them all. Each time I put a C4 down, Rico's going, and I was like, am I the bad guy?
Maybe I'm the bad guy. What's happening? Because there's a line very early on in the game from your brother, Mario.
No, your brother. He's like sort of your childhood friend.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. Anyway, he...
Hermano.
I was watching that. But he says, like, whatever you destroy, we will rebuild.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I'm destroying a lot. Let's not make empty promises, all right? Because I don't think you can rebuild what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, it's like, we've got to take out this tyrannical dictator. First thing we need you to do, take out that bridge so their tanks can't get across. I mean,
there's a lot
of people that live on this island with that bridge as being the only way of access. No.
Trust
we'll rebuild it.
We got it.
It's like, how long will that take to build it? I feel like you don't have realistic... Yeah. I mean, this guy's a dictator, but he gets stuff
bridge
done.
Bridge is heritage listed. It's beautiful. Blow it up. And that's really what this game comes down to. It's just entirely about...
It seems mindless, but that is the most fun I've had in this game.
It's the point of it, like, right?
Like, and the bigger the thing, the better. Like, I just, the other night, found a whole mining region. Have you found that area?
No.
It has these huge excavation machines that you can blow up.
Wow. Well, the map is
that might sound boring, but like the enjoyment I get out of this game increases or decreases depending on the size of the things you have to blow up. Like when you stumble across a giant military complex and you see the whole list of things you need to destroy to fully demolish that complex, if it's a big list, I get excited.
Great.
I'm like, there's so much havoc to cause. Get a multi, like, homing rocket launcher, hijack a chopper out of the air, just, like, cause mayhem.
Hang underneath the chopper and then, like, grapple onto this. One of my favorite things to do is to get, you know, those gas canisters that, like, shoot off.
The propulsion sort of ones.
Because you can also tether people to things. So I tether like three guys to one of those gas canisters and then shoot it, and it shoots up in the air, and then just three dudes get like rocketed along with it, like just wait. It's like, oh, there goes my phone.
Is that your favorite? I mean, my favorite thing I reckon is tethering two towering fuel tanks together and then tethering any enemies on the ground to them. and so that they get pulled together, and dudes get pulled in between them, so they get just before they just before the gas like combusts and explodes, these three guys get sucked towards it and go.
I like slingshotting people. Like
I haven't mastered the slingshot.
Tethering, you got to tether them between two buildings.
Mm.
Stand far back and press L, and it like pulls them in.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then you get rid of the tether, and it shoots them off.
Yeah, I just haven't been able to perfect the speed of the snapback.
Once you do that, you can do skeet shooting.
That's great,
and it's
fantastic.
Great.
That's fantastic.
What is skeet shooting about?
It's like clay shooting. You know, it's not like Olympus sport. You clay shoot things, shoot clay things. But if you get a person. This is maniacal. And you shoot them off into the air and then get rid of the tether. They go flying in the air and you just follow them with your gun and then shoot them.
You monster.
It's great.
The game is amazing for that kind of stuff you can do. And it's nice when you remember, you know, it can be very tempting in the game sometimes to just be on the ground level shooting people. And then all of a sudden you'll just remember...
I've got all these other things in my
head. Wait a minute. I can just grapple that truck onto that guy and then contract it. And all of a sudden a Jeep comes flying through and will kill, you know, five guys at once.
Now, this sort of comes into my biggest complaint about it is that it's so mindless and fun that I'm now bored of it.
Yeah.
Once you've done all these things and blown up all these things and seen what there is to do and blow up, there's not really much else there. I mean, I didn't really do much of the story, to be honest, because I was just having fun, like, blowing
stuff and the, up. And the story's not great.
It's not great.
For them, the narrative is a little bit weak.
Yeah.
There's a lot of load screens in between every cutscene that just takes you out of it.
Uninteresting
and
characters.
And my biggest, the thing I hate the most, and it's such a small thing for them to get wrong, is that there's, like, 3 seconds too long in between every line of dialogue.
Like, interesting. I
it's not
that.
Snappy. Like, every character goes, Mario, are you there? One. Two.
Yes, I am
three.
Here.
Yes, and it's like someone has just been asleep in the job, and it makes everything sound so rehearsed and not
fake.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is a shame because Mario is a funny character, and some of the conversations and missions are funny, and it's like they've just let it all down on a simple pacing thing.
I mean, from the get go, the game was about the big explosions and how creative you can get with blowing things up and doing cool stuff like that, and like getting a car and launching it off a mountain and whatever. But it's just, surprisingly, it's just a bit boring now.
Yeah.
I'm just a little bit over it. And there's not much there to... I don't really have much reason to go back to it.
It is a shame that because there isn't that investment, you do just kind of... I mean, the thing that keeps me going in it is just the search for bigger things to blow up.
Yeah.
But the settlements... Yeah. Like, so enemy bases that you blow up, which can have huge, like, silos and things to destroy... They get more exciting because they get bigger and bigger as you go through the game. But those settlements, the towns you liberate, are the same every single time. And they're so boring and tedious.
And you've got to do a bunch.
They always have six speakers, which are really small and fiddly to destroy.
And sometimes hard to find.
And then you have to liberate a police station, and that gets really tedious.
Oh, and the enemy's always, like, constantly spawning. I don't know. It's just, it's fun for a little while as a distraction, but I don't think there's much there to...
Yeah, I'd say it's a really fun gameplay-driven thing, and the side missions are fun. Like, I enjoy the... gliding missions and the
races through the rings. You got to fly through rings and stuff. Yeah.
But it's more of a distraction game. It's not a huge time sink game. So it's a very mixed recommendation from me.
Yeah, me too. And I thought I'd really get into it, but it's fun for a very short period of time. I'm not crazy about it.
Look, we've run bang out of time. Carlo Badia, thank you for coming on.
Bloody pleasure.
As always, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, BigHeadMode2RRR, on the website, BigHeadMode.com.au. Also, check out insert-coin.com. They've got a great new video up on Tetris this week. Stick around. Up next is Curly's Accidentally Curly's Treat. We're going to play out with Love Love You from Jet Set Radio.
Yeah.
If you
like this one, it's good.
Till then, see you next week.
Bye. You love me.